The headlines: Iran's leader says the West will not hesitate to further extend its influence wherever it can, noting that the ongoing conflict in Ukraine stems from the West's attempt to expand NATO. Hamas condemns Israel's new settlement plans in Al-Quds and vows to stand up against the regime's expansion projects to protect the Islamic identity of the city. And French people are voting in the parliamentary elections that could prevent President Macron from pushing through his second-term agenda. Thank you for joining us. My name is Kisumi Shahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has blamed NATO expansionism for the war in Ukraine, saying Western powers will not hesitate to expand their sphere of influence wherever possible. In a meeting with the visiting Kazakh president, Ayatollah Seyed Ali Khamenei urged vigilance in the face of relentless U.S. attempts to undermine the sovereignty and might of countries, particularly in Eastern and Western Asia. The leader also pointed to the deep historical cultural ties between Iran and Kazakhstan and called for the greater expansion of cooperation between the two countries, in particular regionally. He said the two sides must redouble efforts to follow through and implement their agreements. For his part, Qasem Jomrat Tokayev hailed his talks with the Iranian president earlier in the day. He said that a document signed between the two sides can pave the ground for the enhancement of bilateral ties.
A warm welcome for a new chapter in the Iran-Kazakhstan relations. On Sunday, Kazakh President Qasem Jomart Tokayev arrived in Tehran at the invitation of his Iranian counterpart Ebrahim Raisi. After an hour-long meeting, the two sides oversaw the signing of several cooperation documents on transport, energy and tourism, among other areas.
Despite the existing geopolitical situation and restrictions, Kazakhstan and Iran managed to increase their bilateral trade by 50% over the past 3 months. With today's MOUs, I'm certain that we will achieve a lot more in our interactions.
Iran was the first country that recognized Kazakhstan's independence following the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991. That was when Tehran and Nur Sultan began their diplomatic ties. President Raisi says the two nations have never been closer.
This visit by the honorable Kazakh president is undoubtedly a milestone in Iran-Kazakhstan relations. Over the past 30 years, we have maintained fraternal ties with our neighbor, Kazakhstan, but the level of our relations need to be enhanced.
Iran and Kazakhstan are both members of the Economic Cooperation Organization, ECO. This provides a safe trading channel for the two countries, without worries over the impacts of U.S. sanctions on Iran.
We need to expand our cooperation through regional organizations such as the Shanghai Cooperation Organization and the Eurasian Economic Union.
Since he took office less than a year ago, President Raisi has been trying to establish closer neighborly ties, as he believes this would obviate the need for Iran to wait for the fate of the ailing 2015 deal with the world powers to improve its economy.
Before the coronavirus pandemic, Iran and Kazakhstan's annual trade exceeded $1 billion. But the pandemic pushed this figure down to around $200 million. Today, the two presidents vowed to push the envelope of their country's commercial interaction and set a $3 billion mark for their annual trade. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Moving on, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says it will stand up against Israel's settlement expansion to protect the Islamic identity of Al-Quds. Hamas issued a statement condemning the regime's new settlement plans in Al-Quds neighborhoods. The resistance movement says the settlement construction takes place in sync with Israel's grand scheme of altering the historic identity of Al-Quds and ramping down the presence of Palestinians there. Hamas called on all Palestinians to resist the Zionist plot for the Holy Land with everything they have. In recent years, Israel has been speeding up settlement constructions in Al-Quds. Most Arab countries have kept silence in the face of Israel's land grab trend. A report by Israeli media has confirmed the regime's direct responsibility for the massacre in Sabra and Shatila refugee camps in southern Lebanon in 1982. Based on confidential documents, the report says that the plan to raid the Palestinian refugee camps in Beirut had been approved by Israel's then prime minister. It also says that Israeli commanders had held meetings with the leaders of Lebanon's Al-Kataib militia group to coordinate the slaughter of civilians. 2 days after the massacre, Israeli officials held a meeting with the militia leaders to discuss ways to conceal Israel's involvement. Israeli officials have always denied the regime's responsibility in the savagery. According to some estimates, up to 3,500 civilians were killed when Lebanese militia stormed the camps in vicious episodes following Israel's ill-conceived invasion of southern Lebanon. Yemenis are still suffering from the consequences of the Saudi-led war, despite the UN truce entering its third month. In Sana'a, Abdul Latif al-Washali has more.
Amid a decline in military operations since the UN ceasefire took effect in April, the number of victims of banned weapons in Yemen keeps rising. Remnants of Saudi cluster bombs are taking more lives as Riyadh refuses to allow badly needed equipment, including mine detectors, to enter the war-torn country. Yemen's Mine Action Center reported 120 cases since the start of the truce, 26 of them in the first third of June.
Since the beginning of this year, 326 people have fallen victim to leftover cluster bombs. 120 of them alone have been killed since the start of the truce. The bombings of the Saudi-led coalition continue to claim the lives of innocent citizens on a daily basis. Unfortunately, the Saudi-led coalition has been preventing the entry of necessary equipment for years, even though our work is for humanitarian purposes. Therefore, we believe that the coalition seeks to kill civilians even after the end of the war.
The Mine Action Center says the Saudi-led coalition has prevented the entry of mine detectors to Sana'a since 2018 for no good reason, and field teams are still working despite all the risks.
The biggest problem that the center faces is the lack of mine detectors and field equipment. We have been facing this problem since the outset, and unfortunately, the devices and personal protection equipment were not provided even throughout the years of war. In 2018, the United Nations informed us that our equipment had arrived in Djibouti. But much to our surprise, part of it was held by the Saudi-led coalition and some was handed over to other parties not affiliated with us. And we have not received anything until this moment.
During the seven-year war, the Saudi-led coalition has used 15 types of internationally prohibited cluster bombs in its attacks against residential areas across Yemen. However, officials say relevant international organizations refrain from cooperating for political reasons. People here are dying due to the remnants of internationally banned weapons used by the Saudi-led coalition. Experts believe the number of victims will continue to rise unless the coalition allows the needed equipment to defuse the weapons that kill Yemeni women and the children to enter Yemen. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
French people are heading back to the polls for a second round of voting in high-stakes parliamentary elections. More than 48 million voters are registered to cast their ballots. The results are due after the polls close at 8 p.m. Paris time. President Emmanuel Macron is expected to win the biggest share of the National Assembly seats. Still, he is in danger of falling short of a parliamentary majority, complicating his efforts to push through his policy agenda. The first round saw his centrist camp tied with a left-wing coalition led by Jean-Luc Mélenchon. Those polls were overshadowed by a historic low turnout, with over 52% of registered voters choosing to stay away from the polls. The legislative polls come hot on the heels of April's presidential vote, which saw Macron re-elected following a runoff victory over far-right Marine Le Pen. Earlier, we talked to our correspondent in Paris, Ramin Mazahari, who updated us on the ongoing second round of parliamentary elections.
It should be around 45% turnout. So you've got more than half of the French electorate, which is not planning to participate in the vote for the the legislative body. This is why we rebelled against monarchy, was to get a legislative body. But the French just don't seem to care at this point. And it really says a lot about the credibility of the Western liberal democratic project. But it really goes even more than that, because when you figure on turnout being around 45%, Macron is probably going to get an absolute majority, but only win about 12, maybe 15% of the actual electorate. So with only 12 to 15% of the actual electorate, he's going to be able to force through far-right economic austerity measures for the next 5 years. In the first round, Macron was tied with the left-wing alliance. That's factually true, but it's a bit misleading because that's overall votes. That's not in terms of, the 577 seats. They are not going to be split 50-50. Macron is likely to—he will be right around 289, which is 289 seats, which is what he needs for an absolute majority.
The NATO chief issues a grim warning on the war in Ukraine, saying the country and the rest of the world should brace for a years-long conflict. Jens Stoltenberg says that the Western military alliance should continue its support for Ukraine, even if he, as he put it, the costs are high. However, he ruled out a direct NATO intervention, saying that the alliance will not put any boots on the ground there. The NATO chief expressed optimism that Ukrainian forces would be able to drive Russian troops out of the eastern Donbass region with the help of more modern weapons from the West. Moscow continues to target areas across Ukraine, but fighting is particularly intense in the east and the south. After his first visit to the southern front line, Ukrainian President Zelensky vowed that his forces would not give away the south to anyone.
We will not relinquish the south to anyone. We will retrieve everything, and the sea will be Ukrainian and safe. Both in Mykolaiv and in Odessa, I held meetings with our military, with all the officials who are responsible for our defense and maintenance of these areas. I heard reports about the destruction that the region has suffered from Russian strikes. The losses are significant.
He said the morale among Ukrainian soldiers and security forces in Mykolaiv and Odessa regions is high, and none of them have any doubt in the country's victory in the war. Mykolaiv is a key target for Russia, as it lies on the way to the strategic Black Sea port of Odessa. Zelensky said there are not enough missiles in Russia to weaken the Ukrainians' will to live. To the east, the city of Severodonetsk remains under heavy artillery and rocket fire. Ukrainian armed forces have admitted suffering a setback in a settlement just to the southeast of the strategically important city, which is one of the last Ukrainian strongholds in Donbass. Russia's president says that the emergence of new power centers that have the right to protect their systems, economic models, and sovereignty has ended the era of the unipolar world. Vladimir Putin, who was speaking at the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, also criticized the West and its policies regarding Moscow.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has lambasted the West, stressing that the so-called Golden Billion countries still pretend that they are superior and consider other countries to be their colonies. He, however, stated that the West's ruling elites live in a dream world and refuse to see global changes. Putin also accused Western countries of deliberately undermining the foundations of international order to satisfy their geopolitical illusions.
I think Putin's legacy will be in ushering in the end of American hegemony and the start of a unipolar world, helped in no small part by President Xi Jinping of China. The end of American hegemony will be mourned by a very small clique of nations that call themselves the international community. In reality, the international community is America and its client states. China, Russia, India, and much of the Islamic world don't take part in this shared narrative that is suggested by the term of the international community.
The Russian president stated that over the past decades, new powerful centers have been formed on the planet and are growing. He added that each of these countries has developed its own systems and also stressed that they have the right to protect themselves to ensure their national sovereignty.
It's obvious that the rules, the essence of the new world order, will be set by strong sovereign states which do not move along the trajectory drawn by somebody else. Only strong sovereign states can say their word in this emerging world order. Otherwise, they're doomed to become or remain rightless colonies.
Moreover, the Russian president said that the European Union has completely lost its political sovereignty, and its bureaucratic elites are dancing to someone else's tune, accepting whatever they're told from above, causing harm to their population and their economy. Putin slammed the EU's decision to impose sanctions on Russia as not well thought out, stating that the bloc's policies have delivered a serious blow to their own economies.
To Ecuador now, and indigenous protesters are continuing their demonstrations nationwide. President Guillermo Lasso has declared a state of emergency, but the protesters are defiant and pressing on with road blockages. Now in their sixth day, they are demanding cheaper fuel, whose prices have risen sharply since 2020. There is a heavy military presence in the streets of the capital, Quito. So far, scores have been injured and dozens arrested during scuffles with security forces. The oil-producing nation is dealing with rampant inflation, unemployment, and poverty, and the coronavirus pandemic has worsened the situation. The government's small increase in subsidies for the poor has failed to appease the protesters. That brings us to the end of this edition of World News.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
writing. Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, June 19th, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So, contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So please keep us company until the end of the program. This is Listeners Special, this Sunday program, your program. And here, I truly appreciate those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Bidan Chandra Sanyal from India, John Hushel from Austria, and Volkan Atasever from Turkey. So, Bidan, John, and Volkan, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to your radio, IRIB English Radio. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because actually these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card. And of course, we've received so many emails from around the world, including an email from Tarek Zaidan from Egypt. Toshiki Tetsuboi from Japan has sent us an email. Shivendo Paul, one of our regular listeners from India, has sent us an email. Here we've received an email from Juha Vayer from Finland, and from Italy, we've received an email from Dario Gabrielli, one of our regular listeners. Thank you very much for being with your program, Listeners Special. After a short break, I will be back with these great emails. I will read them and see what our great listeners have said. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. So, Tarek Zaidan from Egypt has sent us an email. Let's see what Tarek says. Dear friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Greetings from Cairo, Egypt. My name is Tarek Zaidan, SWL and DXer since 1984. I'm a Marine Sales General Manager in a petroleum company here in Cairo. I used to tune in to Arabic and English section of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting in 80s and 90s, but lately I've noticed that the transmitters of your station is getting really weak. The strength of the broadcast is okay, but the audio is very weak to understand the content of the programs. I hope you work on that to be able to tune in again to your shortwave transmissions. I'm looking forward to receiving your EQSL card, as this will be my first QSL card from your country. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Iran, and IRIB English Radio, Tarek Zaidan from Egypt. And many thanks for writing this piece of email to your radio, IRIB English Radio. So you've been listening to shortwave radio, and you have been DXing since 1984, and I think that's 38 years ago. And that's a long time, and it's great. So you tune into the Arabic and English section of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting, and that's great. And unfortunately, you had trouble with the strength of the broadcast, which we will inform our engineers and technicians about that problem, because our effort at IRIB English Radio has been actually truly to fix such kind of problems and provide the best quality of the programs to our dear listeners around the world. So, Tarek Zeidan from Egypt, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation to this email and, of course, your views about the quality of our signals and programs. Many thanks for sending us this email, Tarek Zeidan from Egypt. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon. And Toshiki Tetsuboi from Japan has sent us an email. Toshibi Tetsuboi from Japan says, "Dear IRIB staff, my name is Toshiki Tetsuboi and I am a student who loves broadcast listening and DXing. Yesterday, I listened to your English broadcast and I'd like to send you a reception report. I also send an MP3 file that I record your broadcast. I feel very grateful if you accept this and send me a QSL card via airmail." Salam and warm greetings to you, Toshiki Tetsuboi from Japan. Thank you very much for sending us this email. So you are a DXer and broadcast listener, and that's great. So this time you listen to IRIB English Radio. Toshiki Tetsuboi, why don't you tell us your views about the programs you had? Yes, we've received your MP3 file recording. Thank you very much for that. But in your upcoming emails, tell us which program or programs you like the best. Toshiki Tetsuboi from Japan, as for your request about sending you a QSL card, sending any material, including paper QSL card, on behalf of IRIB English Radio is not possible at the time of pandemic. Maybe after the pandemic, we will send you a paper QSL card. But at the time, and for the time being, just please accept an electronic QSL card from us. An eQSL card from IRIB English Radio. Toshiki Tetsuboi from Japan, thank you again. Write to us soon. And after a short break, I will be back with an email from India from Shivendapol, one of our regular listeners. Please stay with us. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Shivendapol from India. Shivendapol from India says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, greetings from India. I am Shivendapol from West Bengal, India. I am one of the listeners of Radio Tehran IRIB English Radio. On June 16, 2022, I listened to your radio. Signal strength was moderate with a slight noise, but overall reception was moderate. IRIB Radio Tehran is the window of Iran. Now, your IRIB is not only limited to a radio station, but it also includes website and social media platforms. Your programs are very nice and informative. I love the news, music, analysis, reports, and programs about Iran, tourist attractions, and beauties. On May 15th, we organized a listeners' meeting and radio DXing exhibition, which we call it Milan Mela. I have sent you a report and some photos of this event. Hope you enjoy them. Salam and warm greetings from Tehran, Iran, and IRIB English Radio to you, Shivendapol from India. Thank you very much for sending us this email. Please accept our appreciations to you for telling us your views about the quality of our programs. As you said, you find our programs very nice and informative. So you love the programs like the news, music, analysis, reports, and programs about Iran, tourist attractions, and beauties. I think you mean the program Close Up Iran. And other sections, you love them. Thank you very much for telling us your views about the broadcast of IRIB English Radio. So thank you very much for sharing your experience about Radio DXing exhibition, which you call it Milan Mela. Shivendapol from India, my colleagues will soon send you an eQSL card. And as the trouble you discussed, as you said, the signal strength was moderate with slight noise, My colleagues at IRIB English Radio, of course, will soon fix the problem. Write to us soon, Shivanandapol from India. And from Finland, we've received an email from Juha Vire. Juha Vire says, I'm so sorry that I have not kept in touch through email with you since I have been busy with my job and illness recently. Still, thank you very much for letting listeners know what's happening in Iran. I like listening to the news from radio and your programs are my favorite. Salam and warm greetings to you, Juha Vire from Finland. And I do express my appreciations and warm gratitudes to you for sending us this email. So, what a pity you were busy with your illness and your job recently. We're so sorry for that. Please stay safe and healthy and accept our prayers and best wishes for you. And we are so happy that you reflected your views about our broadcast. And it's great that you find the programs of IRIB English Radio as your favorite programs. Thank you for that. Juha Vire from Finland. Accept our electronic QSL card as a confirmation to your email and write to us soon. We wish you all the best. And after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Please stay with us. Welcome back from Italy. We've received an email from Dario Gabrielli. Dario Gabrielli says, Dear friends, my name is Dario and I am 54 years old, living in the north of Italy, in a village called Dolo that has about 14,000 inhabitants, situated near Padova and Venice. After the closure of the Italian language broadcast in short waves, I thought I'd start listening to your programs in English because I don't like to listen to the broadcast via PC or satellite. I like to listen to the broadcasters from all over the world only in short wave. Hereby, I would like to inform you that I have sent a listening report via your webpage and that I hope you've received. Otherwise, inform me that I will send it again. Salam, ciao, Dario, Gabrielli from Italy, and many thanks for sending us this great email. We are so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received in your region, your village called Dolo, that has about 14,000 inhabitants. It must be a very beautiful village. This village is situated near Padova and Venice. Thank you very much for sharing this information with us and our great listeners around the world. So, you are a fan of shortwave listening and shortwave, you know, radio. That is a traditional kind of radio, which I think listening to shortwave radio is a favorite for almost everyone around the world, including me and my colleagues at IRIB English Radio. And that's great. Dario Gabrielli from Italy, thank you very much for sending us this email. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card. Write to us soon and tell us your views about the programs of IRIB English Radio. And before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, again, I do send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of our great listeners who have sent us reception reports and emails from around the world, including Bidan Chandra Sanyal from India, John Hutchell from Austria, Volkan Atasever from Turkey, Tarek Zaidan from Egypt, Toshiki Tesuboi from Japan, Shivanandapol from India, Juha Vair from Finland, and Dario Gabrielli from Italy, and many other listeners, which in the upcoming programs, we will read their emails and reception reports. Many thanks for being with your program, listeners especially. We wish you all the best. Please keep in touch with your program, IRIB English Radio, and listeners especially, and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.passtoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/passtodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagin.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The central point in Ayatul Kursi is Tawheed. We are told to repeat that, remind ourselves constantly, Allahu la ilaha illahu. Not that I don't worship anyone but God. God, Allah, la ilaha illahu. There is no God other than Him. There is no one being worshipped other than Him. Something that other verses, a number of chapters, begin with. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything in the heavens, in the earth, from the angels to the cosmos, to the planets, to the stars, to the black holes, to whatever is there that we're aware of and whatever is there that we're not aware of, materially and otherwise. Every grain of sand, every molecule that exists on earth or throughout the cosmos, every subatomic particle, the smallest building block that we may have or may not have been able to find out exactly what is the smallest building block of material existence, every bit of it, in every way, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. All of them worship none other than God. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. He is al-hayy. He is the one who is alive. Life is He. Whether we are alive or we're dead, and whatever life means in regards to us, all of this is a limited version of life. He is the one who's really alive. And He is Al-Qayyum. He's the one that upholds everything. Nothing exists, nothing functions except through His will. What He wants is nothing other than that. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. That livelihood that He has is not like ours, that we doze off. We get drowsy, we're not too much in our senses. No. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Constant awareness, constant full capacity life. Not like our time in this world in terms of life. And our even definition of what life means for us is all limited. And those functions of life are limited. We need sleep. Our bodies are alive in a certain way, but the life that we have during our sleep, during our comas, is different than the life that we have when we are awake and aware, when we are conscious. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. No dozing off, no drowsiness, and no sleep. Doesn't need any of that. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Again, that idea, la ilaha, everything worships Him, is mentioned in this way. Everything belongs to Him. It's actually His. It has nothing but belonging, the idea of belonging to Allah. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Whatever you put your finger on, whatever you can think of, belongs to Him. He owns everything. True ownership and position, such that everything does what He wills. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. And that's why it is then followed by this concept, من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. We generally understand the concept of shafa'ah, which we translate as intercession, as something relevant to the day of judgment and when we are to be held accountable for our deeds, for our actions, for our beliefs. And where we fall short, the concept of intercession comes in. However, as many mufassirin, especially contemporary ones that have spent more time, and this is obviously, of course, amongst ulama, Ahlul Bayt, they are the Quran. That's a different. But in terms of the works on tafsir that we identify as such, not the explanations given by the Ahlul Bayt. The explanations given by the Ahlul Bayt in the hadith is there. But in terms of what is collected as hadith of tafsir specifically, where a particular verse is mentioned, or rather I should say, the collections of such hadith with the commentary of ulama, when it comes to the understanding of our ulama, the contemporary ulama, especially those that have read and understood and have worked off of what Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayh has presented, have clearly understood that the concept of shafa'ah is not something related to the hereafter. This verse is not in the context of the Day of Judgment. This is talking about the reality of existence, that there's only one God and whatever He wills and nothing but that. That's what this verse is saying. The concept of shafa'ah in this context is something that is relevant to everything around us. We see the shufa'ah. We see water quenching thirst. We see my work producing results in terms of cooking, in terms of engineering, in terms of medicine, in terms of whatever work it is that people generally do. We see the earth as the cause of earthquakes, volcanoes. We see certain patterns in weather where storms form, rain comes, how much rain will fall here or there. What we see is what's visible to our eyes. These are the shufa'a. God owns all of this. If anything, this is what man dhalladhi, who can intercede? If that drop of rain drops here and we don't have drought, how can that drop of rain, those clouds, the water evaporating from the oceans or from wherever that formed that cloud, the winds that blew those clouds in the direction that they came here, the amount of pressure that was there, and whatever other material process there is in making a certain amount of rain to fall from the sky in a certain way where the earth can absorb it instead of it just flowing over the surface and going back to the sea. All of these are variables. Every single one of them belongs to Allah. If you see any of them being effective, that is shafa'a, and man dhaladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi'idhnih. How can that wind make this water move? That's shafa'a. It's an intermediary that has an effect. It's something, and obviously it's not God, it's wind. But that wind belongs to Allah. If that wants to have an effect on another creation of God, that is intercession. That is being an intermediary. Being an intermediary is not possible illa bi'idhnillah, except through the will of God. It's the will of God. That's why when people look at the weather patterns and predict weather conditions as much as they have predicted them based on patterns that there are. These patterns are not patterns that these molecules came up with. They are patterns that God gave them. And at any point, if he wants to change that pattern, he will. We have instances.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Halim Hakimun Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
June 4, 2018. Just take a look at the behavior of the American statesmen. Their style of speech is similar to that of psychopathic personalities. They make threats. They order assassinations. They slander. They helplessly beg for assistance. They attack the stability and security of other nations. One of the most prominent points of the Imam's path, which is reflected in his testament and all his remarks, is the need for determined resistance against covetous, arrogant,